Praise God. Open your Bibles this morning with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Well, I know the scripture is in 31, but I'm asking you to begin in Isaiah chapter 30. You know, the question that the Lord's going to pose today is simply, where are you looking? You know, every answer that we're looking for every circumstance and every situation, the Father has. And when we look into the right place and we find the right things, and so many times we look afterwards, after we didn't do it His way and we did it our way, and then we call on Him and ask Him to help me get out of the mess I got in. Amen. And Jesus made it just as simple as could be when He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1, he says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of the Pharaoh, and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 25, he says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18, I'm just building up to get to my text, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said in verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in them, for all things are yours. And the reason that I'm establishing this is there's so many things in this world that the body of Christ is confusing with the things of God. Hallelujah. Right. We're good. That's all good. Amen. Probably because they weren't seeking the wisdom of God. They were seeking the wisdom of man. Amen. We're going to speak blessings. So look with me in our text today to Isaiah chapter 31. And the reason that the Lord is opening this so we can really grab a hold of what the Father wants to say to our hearts and our lives today. God purposed for you to be here. He has a plan in every heart and every life of everyone in the room. He never leaves anyone out. Amen. 31, verse number 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and he will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not God, and their horses flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they shall fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. And I want to focus your attention to verse number 2 for the message this morning. He says, yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Amen. The title of this morning's message is, Where Are You Looking? And we're going to look at his wisdom, his words, and his wages today. Amen? So can we lift our word together, and can we make a declaration together in the house today? Can you repeat with me? Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I am listening. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So, Father, I just pray that you speak through me today, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification and encouragement and to comfort to everyone that hears your word today. And, Father God, may we not just be hearers, but may we be doers. May we put your word to practice in our hearts and lives, and when all is said and done, you will receive all the glory, honor, and praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. So first, we're looking at where are we looking, where are you looking, and we're going to look at his wisdom. And, you know, one of the things the Father has been speaking to my heart so much about is so many times we have a tendency to look to the creation and not to the Creator. Amen. So many times we seek to look to man's wisdom and not God's wisdom, and all natural wisdom comes down from above. Amen. And Father wants us to be men and women that will look to Him first. Amen. That we seek in His direction and His guidance in our lives. You know, the Word of God says the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord, and he finds delight in his way. If the Lord has ordered our steps, it's so important for you and I to find out the steps that he wants us to take. Amen? One of the things about the Father, you can be assured of, that the Father will never ask you to step outside of his Word. Amen. This is our guideline. This is our perimeters. We know where we can go and where we can't go. We know what we can do and what we can't do. Amen. And that doesn't mean that we always do what we're supposed to do. Truthfully, all of us are rebellious in some manner or some shape or some form. Amen. So I'm not the only rebellious one here. Amen. Anybody else here with me? Amen. How many have that mentality? Because we work hard, and and we provide for our family, then we get in that mentality that nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, we've got to submit ourselves to the mighty hand of God so he can exalt us in due season. Amen? I'm not asking you to submit to me, but he does tell us to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Amen? And humble ourselves so as we're receiving God's word, he wants us to know that he knows everything. Amen? If you come to me, I might have counsel and God might give me some words, but he has every word. I only have partiality. He has fullness. Amen? Amen. And that's why I'm so happy and delighted to be his servant. Because all I am is a vessel to share his word. It's not my word. It's his word. And you don't have to answer to me from the word. You have to answer to him. Amen? So it leaves it all off of my shoulders. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to preach the word and enjoy the Lord while I do it. Amen? So look with me in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're looking at wisdom, his wisdom. So go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 19. The word of God says, "The Lord by wisdom have founded the earth. By understanding have he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." Amen. He gives his beloved rest. In other words, when we're resting in him, when we're trusting in him, and we're believing, you know, even in all of the adversity in the world right now with the storms and the hurricane and the winds and the seas, the Lord has them in the hall of his hand. Amen? He's promised not to leave us nor forsake us. You know, and you say, well, there's going to be destruction. Yeah. But God is also our provider. "My God shall supply each and every one of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Amen. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts a standard against him. Amen. Amen. So no matter what it looks like, so many people are saying so many different things about the wind and the things and God's judgment and whatever. Hurricanes have been coming since the creation of the universe. It's part of the atmosphere. Amen. Will the hurricane wake some people up? Yeah. Will some people look to Jesus that had not been looking to him? Yeah. Will God take what the enemy means for evil and turn it around and use it for his glory? Yeah. Amen. In other words, God is going to get their attention. He's going to get our attention here. Amen. So when I look at that, I look at here's Daniel in Daniel chapter 2. Turn with me there. Daniel got to come up to with an answer for the king. Amen. And he has to come up with a good answer. Amen. And I think it's really interesting in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. Daniel needs to get some revelation and some understanding. How many need some revelation and understanding in things that are going on in your life? Hello? He gives us an example to follow here. He says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, He says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding, that no understanding, excuse me. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made me made known unto me that now, excuse me, what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. In other words, sometimes the Lord will come to you in a vision, in a dream. You know, but Daniel went to bed in prayer. Daniel went to sleep seeking the Lord. Daniel said, at morning, noon, and night, I sought him. Amen. In other words, as Daniel was seeking the Lord for the king's matter, all of a sudden the wisdom came in a dream, in a vision at night. Amen. You know, the Bible says without vision, we perish. Amen. So God, sometimes God wants to establish something in your heart and life for you to move towards, for you to walk towards. Amen. God doesn't desire for us just to go aimlessly through life. You know, he says, I know the plans that he has for you and I. They're plans for good, not for evil. Plans to give us hope and an expected end. Amen. In other words, it's important for us to get a picture of where we're going. Because the Bible says, without vision, the people perish. In other words, what God did through Daniel's prayer, as Daniel was seeking God's wisdom, not man's wisdom, he was going to show God was greater than man, God was greater than the king, God was greater than Egypt, okay? Amen. And he was in this dream, God gave him a vision, and when he shared the vision, it spoke deliverance and freedom and healing and restoration. Amen. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 32. The prophet Jeremiah. We find Jeremiah had purchased some property. And the Lord's going to give him some revelation and understanding in Jeremiah 32, 17. The word of God says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto the thousands, and recompenseth the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thy eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You know, God makes it simple in his word. He says that God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, he reaps, okay? And God is saying to us that, hey, God has everything, every answer that we need. Amen? He has every answer for the United States of America. He has every answer for this world. He has every answer for this church. He has the answer for every family, every circumstance, every situation. There's nothing too difficult for him. And if it's too difficult for you, you're not trusting in him to ease up the difficulty. In other words, if it's becoming too hard on you, it's that you're putting it on you instead of leaving it in his hands. Amen. He didn't create us to bear the burdens of this world. When Christ died on the cross, he bore our burdens. Amen? He bore our burdens. Amen? So God wants to lift the heavy-hearted. He wants to lift us up. He wants to raise us up. Amen? That we could run and not grow weary. That we could walk and not faint. Amen? You know, when we were praising and praying and I saw those little children running up and down the aisles, that's the way the Father wants us to come in and praise Him. You know how those children have? You know one thing about a little child? They don't have a care in this world. Hello? I don't know about you, but the Bible says if for whom the Son is made free is free indeed. If we're trusting in Him, we should be able to run and not grow weary. We should walk and not faint. We should have a happy time in the house because God's got it all covered. No matter what you're going through, you have some needs, He's Jehovah Jireh. You got some sickness, oh, he's my Jehovah. Amen? He's my healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He'll heal me. He'll restore me. He'll renew me. He'll refresh me. He'll stir up the gifts in me. He's God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know. I can go out and hug a tree all day long. It's not going to change one thing in my life. Amen. I want to hug Jesus. I want to hug the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three in one. I want the joy of the Lord to fill up my heart, to fill up the atmosphere, just like that little kid not having a care in life. And what did the kid do when you try to hold them down? What do they want to do? They want to cry. They want to scream. And that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to hold you down. He wants to keep you pinned up. He wants you to be in pain. He wants you to holler. He wants you to scream. But God said, let's be free. Hallelujah. God has set us free. Amen. I don't know about you, but he's wise, and I'm going to get some of His wisdom. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I better move on. Secondly, His words. He will not take back His words. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 23. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Verse number 19. Because I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he have blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You know, Balak was trying to get Balaam to reverse the blessing that he had on the children of Israel. And God wants you to understand today, who God has blessed is blessed. We cannot receive reverse the blessing. That's why the Lord even says, bless them that persecute you and despitefully use you for my name's sake, for great is your reward. What's the flow out of our mouths is blessing. We don't respond as the world responds. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? And let me tell you something. That's a difficult area because I was used to giving people a piece of my mind. Oh, I guess it was just me. Hello? Amen? But God says, bless. Bless. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen? So we have words of life coming out of our mouth. In 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm going to go back to Solomon again, because Solomon's probably, according to man's wisdom, he was recognized as the wisest man ever. When God was speaking to Solomon, Solomon could have asked for anything. God asked him what he would desire, and he asked for wisdom. And God gave it. Even in all of his wisdom, he still came out at times in the flesh and not in the spirit, okay? Solomon wasn't a perfect man, but he did get words of knowledge and wisdom for you and I. We're looking at being blessed. Look at the neighbor and say, you're blessed. Say, I'm blessed to be sitting beside you. Because the favor of God is upon you. Did you know that you are a blessing to me? Amen. And I want to be a blessing to you. Amen. In other words, if the church truly becomes what God created us to be, everyone will be a one to be around us. Amen. And Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, speaking of Solomon, the word of God says, blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. There have not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Amen. Amen. There has not one word failed of his good promise. Amen. And if you look at that and you're saying that, we're looking for wisdom. We're seeking his wisdom. We're seeking his word because his word is knowledge. Amen. That's when applied or put to practice becomes wisdom. Amen. Matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 12, sometimes, you know, when the Lord was speaking to me about this message, my thought was, Lord, can I talk about something else? You know, can we go in a different area? But do you realize God knows exactly what you and I need? Amen. The prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25, the word of God says, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. In other words, when the words was being prophesied in the Old Testament, the word became flesh in Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, the word that was spoken became. It became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So before they were speaking the word, and it was traveling through time, and it became. And as the word became, Jesus said, go. When Jesus said, go on all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he transferred authority for you and I to speak his word. And when we speak his word according to his promise, there is not one word that will fail. Amen. That God wants us to understand that when we speak the word of God, there's an expectation of return. Amen. In other words, I don't have to see it to believe it. In other words, if I have to see it to believe it, that isn't faith. That's hope. Faith is speaking the word and it's becoming, and we're acting as it's already done. In other words, by faith, when the word of God is spoken, you do what you couldn't do before. You don't see if you can feel like you can do it. It doesn't have anything to do with feelings. It doesn't have anything to do with emotions. It has to do with faith. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things we did not see. In other words, I've got to walk out my faith. Amen? What does he say to you and I? He says, walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. In other words, I didn't say that. God said that. And his word is true. And all the promises of God in him are what? Yes and amen. Amen. So when we speak to those things that are out of order and we call them in order, they're coming into order according to God's word. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. In other words, for us to rise up. And what he was saying here, he says, even though when he was speaking, it used to be that the vision or the answer was far away. But God says time is shortening. Time is coming closer. It's dwindling down. In other words, things are starting to happen faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And you're going to speak something before you ever get it finished out of your mouth. It's going to become. Amen. Amen. And that's what's going to happen in the body of Christ. When the body of Christ raises up to be the men and women God's called them to be. Amen. You know what the adversary wants you to do? He wants to keep you in bondage and held down and gripped. But God has come to so that we can rise up. You know, the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. Praise God, I like it. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Are you with me? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17. He says, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, and what Jesus was saying, his word, Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. It wasn't abolished, it was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hello? You know, the Lord says that I have to deal with sin. Yuck. But we deal with it, okay? We have to deal with it because in our text today, he says, the wages, he says, but will arise against the house of the evildoers. In other words, there we're talking about his wages. We know that Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death or separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're looking at wages, we're looking at payment rendered, okay? So turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Verse 19, he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. He says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Boy, isn't that a hard one there? It's easier to say than to do, is it? You know, God says, you know what? We're do-gooders. We're do-gooders. Amen? Amen? You know, he says, the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. Amen? In other words, God gives us instructions for his wisdom, for his word, and for his wages. There's a penalty for everything. You know, everything about the word is about seed time and harvest. The word, whatever we do, in other words, for me to have a financial increase, if I'm going to have a financial increase in my life, I've got to sow a financial seed. In other words, there's really such thing in the kingdom of God as a money tree. Hello? In other words, as I sow money, I get money back. As I sow blessings, I get blessings back. As I sow goodness, I get goodness back. You know, so whatever we're giving, whatever we're doing, there's a harvest for it. Because everything in the kingdom of God is about sowing and reaping. Hello? We sow to wickedness, we're going to reap punishment. We sow to righteousness, we're going to reap mercy. Hello? Are you with me? Everybody awake? Anybody need money? I ain't giving you, Dusty. Anybody need money? I'm not giving it to you, Dusty.
I have money, help me.
All right, I'm going to give it to you. You sow it to someone else. It's a seed to sow.
Oh, okay.
Amen? You know? He said, who wants $20? All you have to do is raise your hand, you get it. He ain't looking at y'all. All right, don't gloat, sit down. That's what he says, freely I have received, freely give. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, I think I just said that. Is this a repeat? Did somebody push the rewind button or whatever? Yeah. Well, I guess I'm supposed to read this to you then, my beloved, because he says dearly beloved. I'm not strange though, all right? Hallelujah. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For if so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So we're talking about doing good. So turn with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Talk about seed time and harvest. Again, remember that when the Apostle Paul is writing these letters, he's writing to the church, he's not writing to the world. Okay? This is to the church at Thessalonica, in which this letter is written. He says in verse 6, he says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because the testimony among you was believed in that day. In other words, he is speaking to you, if you're, this judgment will overpass you if your trust is in Jesus Christ. Amen. But the Lord speaks to the church. And turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Let me say this to you. You know, for all have, past tense, sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul said, should I continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. So he gives us instructions, and this instructions that he gives us in his word is for willfully sinning after we receive the truth. He says in Hebrews 10, verse number 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, Jesus can't do it again. He did it once. He did it right. He ain't going to do it again. And we're entering into his finished work of Calvary. We're trusting in his finished work. When we went down in the baptism tank, we were buried. The old man was buried, and we come up with a new resurrection in Christ Jesus. So he says this. He says in verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an holy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that he said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord God. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. In other words, what the Father is saying, you know, all of us mess up. And God says when we mess up, we're to fess up. Amen. In other words, when the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, and the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, when I mess up, I fess up. You know? And secondly, he says, I cannot willfully continue to do what's wrong when I know it's wrong. Amen? In other words, I'm not saying it. God's word's saying it. Amen? So what I'm saying is, hey, God's got mercy. God's got grace. And if I'm caught in something I need help with, I'm going to ask him to help me. What are we talking about? We're talking about his wisdom, his word, and his wages. And God doesn't want anyone to perish, but to all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God desires for us all to be saved and walk in the fullness of God. But he is saying to you and I, he is saying simply to you and I, hey, let's don't willfully do the things that we know are wrong. In other words, somewhere along the line, I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life. I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to guide me, to direct me. He's my teacher. He's my counselor. He's my advocate. He's my helper. He's there to encourage me. He's there to guide me. He's there to direct me. When I asked Jesus to come into my life as my Lord and Savior, he took residence within me. He is in the core of our being. Amen. And he's going to lead us to the paths of righteousness. He is never going to lead us to the path of destruction. Amen. So what we're doing is, hey, we're seeking God's wisdom. We're seeking his direction. You know, and he says in our text today, not only that, in closing today, he says he is against them that help the work of iniquity. In other words, and what he says, what he is saying there is he's talking about aiding and abetting others to sin. Amen? You know, if you were arrested for the law for a crime and maybe you didn't rob the bank, but you drove the getaway car. As far as the law was concerned, you aided and abetted the one that robbed the bank, and you were just as guilty as the one that robbed the bank. In other words, God says that, hey, he's given us the word, and he's given us life, and, you know, we're not judging one another. But he says that, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of righteousness, but reprove them. In other words, we're not buying into the sin of this world. Amen? Are you with me today? In Psalm 37, the Word of God says in verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What a blessing. In closing today, what is the Lord saying? He's just simply saying to you and I, where are we looking?